Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM, AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Dancos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider audience in the American South in the days ahead. We hope, of course, that augments what we're already doing with an expansion of affiliates, conventional affiliates around the country, as well as with the expansion of what we're doing in the international shortwave circuit, as well as on the Internet. Welcome to all of you, and it's good to see you and to hear you as you come to me on, let's see, what is this, the 22nd of February, the day after Ash Wednesday, 7 a.m. in the morning, Central Standard Time. We have a number of news items to maybe take a look at in the first hour of the show this morning. And then at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to be joined by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I found Dr. Tenpenny through her post with newswithviews.com. She's going to be talking about vaccines and why it is entirely legitimate to question vaccines and to question these vaccine programs. This becomes a particularly apropos topic in regard to what's been going on in the state of Texas with the Merck Corporation and Governor Rick Perry and the attempt on the part of both to make this HPV virus vaccine mandatory among school-age girls in the state of Texas. Both Merck and Governor Perry have now backed off of this whole business of making it mandatory. We'll be talking about that, among many other things, with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny at 8 o'clock this morning. And speaking about this whole business of the political context of vaccines, of course, it's been widely reported, both in the Texas press as well as internationally, that Governor Rick Perry's former chief of staff is a lobbyist with the Merck company. And that's the sort of thing, obviously, that's going to be a part of our conversation when Dr. Tenpenny comes on in approximately 1 hour from now. There are a series of news items that we could talk about. One of the fascinating pieces today that I have discovered comes to us all the way from Pakistan. If you ever look at the English language Pakistani press, you may discover that there's a lot there that's worth your time. One of the leading sites is something called The News. That should be easy to remember. TheNews.com.pk for Pakistan. That's TheNews.com.pk for Pakistan. And you will come to a post as of this morning where there's a piece entitled U.S. Commander Fears Miscalculation by Iran. The outgoing commander of the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet has expressed concern that a miscalculation by Iran in its nuclear standoff with the West could spark an armed conflict in the Gulf region. Vice Admiral Patrick M. Walsh, who also heads the U.S. Forces Central Command, told a small group of journalists at Fifth Fleet headquarters in Bahrain that Iran was more likely to threaten oil traffic through the Strait of Hormuz than mine the strategic passageway in the event of a showdown. Quote, "What concerns me is miscalculation. That's certainly what we are trying to avoid. A mistake that then boils over into a war," unquote, Walsh said late on Monday. Walsh, whose force's main mission is to secure free navigation in the Gulf and in a zone stretching from the northwestern part of the Indian Ocean to Pakistan in the east, was referring specifically to the northern part of the Gulf, where two Iraqi platforms are located, and, quote, "the incursions from Iran have continued to grow over time," unquote. We'll take a further look at that story and a few other items when Mark Dancos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll then have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Back. This is Mark Dan Pasamerica coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're looking at some news stories this morning, and then we will be with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny at about 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, or just a few minutes thereafter, talking about vaccines. What is the current controversy over vaccines? Are they necessary? Is there any reason to be concerned about them? Is there a political context to these vaccines in terms of connections between powerful politicians and certain global pharmaceutical firms? Those are some of the things I want to talk to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny about a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning. Suffice it to say that maybe in the third hour of the show, between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, I may say some things about tomorrow's guest, Dr. Robertson Guinness of Catholics Apologetics International, and prepping us for his conversation about neocons and the Jewish connection. I also wanted to speak a little bit about yesterday's guest, Dr. E. Michael Jones, and a summation of some of the things from his article, Cardinal Bia, the Jews, and Nostra Aetate, that you can find at Culture Wars, the print version of it anyway, which is found in the July-August 2006 edition of this publication. You can find Culture Wars as well on the web at culturewars.com. That is a publication that is well worth your time in regard to all of the information in it that pertains to Zionism and the Jewish lobby and the whole influence that both have had in the American political and cultural scene for a very long period of time. Again, that's Dr. E. Michael Jones, who was with us yesterday. We may, in the last hour of the show, examine a little bit more of his article, Cardinal Bia, the Jews, and Nostra Tate, and that, again, has a series of things in it related to Vatican II and what was going on behind the scenes with Vatican II that are well worth our time, not simply as far as examining what was happening at that time, but seeing that whole situation as a microcosm and a test case for the larger issues of infiltration and subversion, as those relate to American publications, American electronic media, American educational institutions, and also the church, both the Catholic version as well as the various Protestant versions in regard to the deals that have been cut over a period of many years with Jewish influence and the Israeli lobby. I thought that yesterday one of the things that Dr. E. Michael Jones said that was well worth underscoring for all kinds of American conservatives who listen to this show, and that's the whole issue of Bill Buckley and National Review. You know, it really seems that from about 1955 onward, National Review was so instrumental in what many would argue was the neoconservative takeover of the American conservative movement. Dr. E. Michael Jones really confirmed that judgment yesterday and indicated that there was some misinformation in the present piece of National Review, which does not get into the larger question of the Jewish lobby and the influence that it has had, again, in American life. And Dr. Jones said that this was very definitely due to the fact that money sources coming from that constituency have been a part of Bill Buckley's National Review for a very long period of time, and that it really is not an accident to see the contemporary neoconservative takeover of so many establishment organs on the American right. The Weekly Standard comes to mind. World Net Daily comes to mind on the web. Fox News, certainly. That all of these things had Bill Buckley's National Review as their precursor. So we need to keep an eye on that, of course, as we continue to talk about sources that are trustworthy as well as sources that aren't, in regard to what we analyze and evaluate and perceive of all of the print and electronic information that comes to us. Getting back then to this whole question this morning of this post in Pakistan from their publication, The News, which you can find at thenews.com.pk. There is a very fascinating, alarming story there where Vice Admiral Patrick M. Walsh, who heads the U.S. Naval Forces Central Command, and is also the outgoing commander of the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, has again expressed concern that a quote-unquote miscalculation by Iran in its nuclear standoff with the West could spark an armed conflict in the Gulf region. And then, of course, the article went on to say that Walsh's control of these forces involves a main mission, which is to secure free navigation in the Gulf and the zone stretching from the northwestern part of the Indian Ocean to Pakistan in the east, was specifically referring to the northern part of the Gulf, where two Iraqi oil platforms are located, and, quote, the incursions from Iran have continued to grow over time, unquote. Walsh made his remarks as a second nuclear-powered U.S. aircraft carrier arrived in regional waters in an apparent warning to Tehran, which Washington accuses of seeking nuclear weapons and fueling the anti-U.S. insurgency in Iraq. The USS John C. Stennis and its accompanying strike group joined the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower in the Sea of Oman, the first time the U.S. has had two aircraft carrier groups in the region since its 2003 invasion of Iraq, compounding speculation about a possible U.S. strike against the Islamic Republic. Quote, we would expect the duration of the time here for the Stennis to be several months, unquote, but its arrival is, quote, not necessarily a precursor to offensive actions, unquote, said Walsh, stressing it will initially support operations in Afghanistan. Quote, there is a national and international commitment to try and work through this crisis over Iran's nuclear program through diplomatic channels, unquote, namely the UN Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Agency, Walsh said. The countries of the region want a solution through such mechanisms, quote, and we are very supportive of that, unquote. But Admiral Walsh, who has been commanding the 5th Fleet since October of 2005 and will leave Bahrain for Washington later this month to become the U.S. Navy's number two, did not hide his concern about Iran's belligerent posture. Quote, they, Iranian leaders, threaten to use oil as a weapon. They threaten to close the Strait of Hormuz. And so it's the combination of the rhetoric, the tone and the aggressive exercises here in very constrained waters that gives us concerns, unquote, he said. Quote, in the past year and a half, Iran has become much more strident, more vocal and in your face, unquote, Walsh, 52, said. He recalled that during war games dubbed Great Prophet II in November, in which Iran fired ballistic missiles in the Gulf, the Iranians, quote, put their mines on their small boats and then displayed that for all to see, unquote. The exercises, quote, focused on the Strait of Hormuz, unquote, through which at least 20% of the world's energy passes, quote, the only conclusion that we can draw from that is that it is meant to intimidate and provoke those who are in the region, unquote, Walsh said. The U.S. commander said that while Iran would not be able to close the Strait of Hormuz by using mines, it could terrorize the passageway, which would have a, quote, dramatic impact, unquote, on world oil markets. Quote, to block all 6 miles used by ships would be a very difficult mission, unquote, Walsh said. They would have to sit there and plant minefields for an extended period of time, and many would be able to see that, he said. Quote, I think a more realistic characterization is that Iran would terrorize the strait. That would have a dramatic impact on markets around the world, unquote. Walsh said that the U.S. and its allies had deployed more minesweepers in response to Iranian threats against the straits. Quote, there are more mine-clearing capabilities here in the region than there were a year ago. So when Iran talks about the ability to close the Strait of Hormuz by using mines, we come out with mine-clearing capabilities, unquote, he said. That, again, is Vice Admiral Patrick Walsh, who heads the U.S. Forces Central Command, the U.S. Naval Forces Central Command, and he is the outgoing commander of the U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet. And, again, he's talking about miscalculations by Iran that he and others are concerned about in their nuclear standoff with the West. This piece coming out of the news of Pakistan today, of course, begs a number of questions. The admiral talks about the increase in bellicose rhetoric. Obviously, that could very easily be said as well of Washington and of Tel Aviv. For after all, we are talking about the deployment of major aircraft carrier task force groups. We are talking about attempts to beef up American and British forces, both in Iraq and in Afghanistan. We are speaking about open speculation from sources in Tel Aviv and Washington who have great credibility that there may even be the use of tactical nuclear weapons in a strike against Iran, a preemptive military strikes that would well nigh be followed up by some sort of conventional military force being applied in that country. And certainly when we speak about the story that the BBC came out with yesterday, indicating that their sources, that they termed diplomatic sources, you figure out who that might be, but their so-called diplomatic sources say that the United States is planning not simply a preemptive strike on Iranian nuclear power stations, which number anywhere from 12 to 20 as far as the ones that would be targeted, as near as we can figure out from reading articles by those who plan such things and who speak about this number of sites being involved. Arak, Isfahan, Tehran, and Bushehr are the sites that most frequently come up in the international press. But in regard to this whole business of a strike against those facilities, the BBC indicated yesterday that their so-called diplomatic sources indicate that a much wider American airstrike is being planned that would involve Iran's military infrastructure around the country. So you can draw your own conclusions as to what that means and how comprehensive that strike would be. But when you look at these so-called leaks, are these leaks accidental? Are they deliberate? Is there a war of words and a war of nerves going on? I suspect in connection with what came out of Pakistan today that the answer is yes, and that this is going to lead to a wider war. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all... They're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined at about 8 o'clock this morning, a little bit after 8 Central Standard Time, by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Going to talk about vaccines. Are they good? Are they bad? Are there risks? What is the relationship between some of the companies that market these vaccines and certain American political politicians? And should we be concerned about what that relationship might be, and whether or not your health and mine and those of our children is best implemented and best protected by the utilization of these vaccines? That's a question that I'm just starting to get involved with in regard to reading. And one trusts that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is an expert in this, which I'm not. And I saw her recent piece for the Paleo Conservative News with Views website. And I think when we listen to her this morning, we're going to find all kinds of information that will cause us to reevaluate what has been traditional political orthodoxy on this whole subject of vaccines. Again, we were talking at the beginning of the hour then about this whole business of the U.S. commander fearing miscalculation by Iran and Pakistan. Take a look at that story when you get a chance. That, again, is coming from Manama, Bahrain, in regard to the byline. The story was printed in Pakistan and quotes the outgoing commander of the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, who's expressing concern about a miscalculation by Iran. Vice Admiral Patrick M. Walsh also heads the U.S. Naval Forces Central Command, and he's going back to Washington to be the number two man in the Navy. Keep an eye on that story in regard to all the chess pieces being set up on the board, which suggests that there is a life-and-death struggle that is coming soon in regard to what seems to be a burgeoning effort to promote a Western and specifically an American preemptive war against Iran that will involve all kinds of things, including the possible use of tactical nuclear weapons and attempts to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, and obviously what will be a much wider conflict, not simply in that country, but throughout the region and potentially throughout the world. Keep an eye on it. Well, let's see. We have another interesting story or two to give you this morning. If you get a chance, take a look at John Prados' piece for TomPaine.com entitled A War Conspiracy Documented. Now, I'm not going to necessarily read from that piece this morning. I may make reference to it later. But certainly in conjunction with what we're talking about, which is the expansion of this present war in Iraq to Iran, with even bigger stakes involved, it's appropriate to go back and to look at John Prados' piece at TomPaine.com entitled A War Conspiracy Documented. From when we go back into all the patterns that led up to the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003 and look at all the statements and counterstatements that were made and all of the leaks that were coming out of the American National Security Divisions as well as the Bush administration, it is absolutely striking the parallels between what happened in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq and what seems to be replaying itself now in regard to charge and countercharge, threat and counter-threat emanating out of both Washington and Tehran, and these selective leaks that are occurring both in the Western media as well as in the international press in the non-Western countries. Very disturbing to see those parallels, because it suggests that this coming conflict is a done deal. I believe it's going to happen. Let's trust that I'm wrong. But TomPaine.com today has a piece by John Prados entitled A War Conspiracy Documented. And you get a chance, read through that, and I think you'll see exactly where I'm coming from on this. Philip Giraldi, who posts for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, he has a very special page there where he analyzes all the darkest things going on in the contemporary political world. Is someone with past connections to the CIA, as well as to a couple of consulting firms that Philip Giraldi does work for. In regard to his column for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, it's well worth your time to take a look at that column and to do so in conjunction with what he says today that you can find at antiwar.com entitled Old Europe and the Mullahs. That's Philip Giraldi, G-I-R-A-L-D-I. Definitely a source with connections past and who knows, maybe present to the American National Security departments and organizations. He is a consultant for something called Canestraro Associates. And again, you'll find him as a regular post for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative on items like this. That piece, Old Europe and the Mullahs, is well worth your time. American Free Press, our friends at American Free Press, have, of course, a tremendous print publication. They also have an online website that from time to time runs a piece from the conventional American Free Press, which is well worth your time to subscribe to. Pat Shannon's piece there today about the Oklahoma City bombshell, which implicates feds in the Mura blast, is something worth your time. After nearly a decade, quoting Pat Shannon here, shocking suppressed evidence emerges. I want to read from this because, again, it goes back and covers some things about Oklahoma City that we certainly haven't seen in the corporate news media. We can only contemplate what the implications of it might be. This is Mark Dankost, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny at a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, to discuss vaccines and what you and I need to know. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux and infected wounds, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
This is Mark Dankost, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, at shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, we'll be joined by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny to discuss vaccines, what you and I need to know about them medically, as well as what we need to know about them politically. That'll be shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. We've been looking at a couple of news items. The news from Pakistan reports today that a U.S. commander, naval commander, fears a so-called miscalculation by Iran. We've read through that piece. Keep your eyes on it in the days ahead and analyze those remarks very carefully made by the outgoing commander of the U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet in the Mediterranean, who is also the head of the U.S. Navy's Central Command. What is he speaking about here? Are we fearful of a miscalculation, or is there going to be a provocation, a false flag incident? I suggest that there are two completely different ways of looking at the spin on that, and I guess in the days ahead we're going to find out exactly which of the two it's going to be, but suffice it to say that it would appear that some wider expansion of this war is going to take place, and that in the case of Iran, if we attack them, this is going to bring about, I think, a political and military and economic blowback, the likes of which we have not yet seen. It's been bad enough already, but I would suggest that if we go through with this thing, that there are going to be some very, very tough times and some tough sledding ahead. That could mean the end of the American empire as you and I have known it in our lifetimes. Some of that, of course, would be tragic. Some of it might be very positive in regard to returning to the tenets of the old republic. We'll see what happens in the days ahead. Back to Pat Shannon's piece for American Free Press, then. That can be found at their website at AmericanFreePress.net. But Pat's article is entitled Oklahoma City Bombshell. Oklahoma City Bombshell Implicates Feds in Mura Blast. After nearly a decade, shocking suppressed evidence emerges. And, of course, I just started to read from that piece, which says that only moments after an enormous blast blew away most of the facade and a full quarter of the eastern end of the Mura Federal Building in Oak City in 1995, the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms began to release evidence implicating two men, and two men only, who they claimed were solely responsible. The evidence later showed that Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols had confessed to the impossible. At first, several independent investigators came forward to complain that there was an obvious cover-up. Now they call it the, quote, ongoing cover-up of the cover-up, unquote. And now even the new OKC Museum contradicts the official theory of what happened on April 19th. Officials in charge at the time still refused to discuss anything other than the manufactured spin. McVeigh and Nichols, as convicted by the courts, mixed up a large batch of ammonium nitrate fuel oil, ANFO, a mild explosive used by farmers to blow out stumps, and demolished several square blocks of downtown Oak City with a devastating blast that could be heard miles away. In reality, the ANFO story was born only 10 minutes after the blast when a high-ranking BATF official by the name of Harry Everhart witnessed the blast from nearby and called the BATF office in Dallas to excitedly announce, quote, someone has just blown up the Fed building in Oklahoma City with a truckload of ANFO, unquote. Some reporters and investigators who have looked objectively at the bombing now argue that neither Everhart nor anyone else could have correctly deduced in such a short time exactly what caused the explosion. According to government documents released later, Everhart was experienced in loading large amounts of ammonium nitrate fertilizer into a vehicle for use as a terrorist truck bomb, and his presence in the midst of the second worst terrorist attack in U.S. history looms suspicious to this day. Records indicate that this ANFO explosive expert and his associates had destroyed at least eight vehicles in, quote, test bombing experiments, unquote, at a secret range in the New Mexico desert in the 12 months prior to the OKC bombing. Everhart and his fellow specialists even photographed and videotaped these truck bombs as they detonated. Far from an anti-government militia member, the vehicle bomb expert was Special Agent Everhart, an employee of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And according to federal government records obtained later, Everhart had been instrumental in obtaining the government funding to perform the ANFO bombing tests. Everhart served on the National Response Team, NRT, a group of experienced bomb and arson investigators who respond to major bombing crime scenes throughout the United States. He also served on a secret government project in 1994 that conducted tests using ANFO and C4 to blow up cars and vans in a classified U.S. government experiment known as, quote, Project Dipole Mite, unquote. According to files, reports, and photographs obtained from the Department of the Treasury through a Freedom of Information Act request, the U.S. government initiated a, quote, comprehensive ANFO and C4 vehicle bomb testing program, unquote, about a year before the OKC bombing. Records show the project was supervised and administered by the BATF, but was actually funded through a National Security Council directive. The Department of Treasury has confirmed the project was initiated under Bill Clinton's NSC staff shortly after he took office in 1993. The intent of the Dipole Mite experiments in 1994 includes making videos and computer models to, quote, be displayed in a courtroom to aid in the prosecution of defendants, unquote, in vehicle bomb cases, according to government documents. The exact precedent and purpose of this activity is unclear. BATF agents started blowing up vans and cars in the spring of 1994 at the White Sands Missile Range in order to collect test data for post-blast forensic computer software packages to be issued out to National Response Team personnel when they respond to truck bombings. Why the NSC would fund such a BATF project, despite the rarity of the crime, has not been explained. Nor has it been explained as to what specific threat assessment information the government had when it decided to engage in such a report just a few months before officials claimed a Ryder truck laden with ammonium nitrate fertilizer exploded in front of the Mira building. The only major ANFO vehicle bombing in U.S. history prior to OKC occurred in August of 1970 at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Contrary to media reports, the World Trade Center bomb of February 1993 was composed of urea nitrate, not ANFO, according to the FBI. Despite only one known case in almost 25 years, why did Clinton's NSC anticipate a need for detailed information regarding ANFO vehicle bomb attacks a few months prior to the Oak City blast? Treasury's own official documents reveal the intensity of interest. In fact, a brief summary of Project Dipole Mite is featured in BATF's 1994 annual report to Congress. There were enough clandestine characters hanging around Oak City to fill a James Bond movie during the days prior to the crime. BATF's paid informant Carol Howe had provided information that the Mira building was one of three potential targets. On April 6th, Kerry Gagin gave U.S. Marshals in Denver the information that, quote, a federal building would be blown up in either Denver or Oak City within 2 weeks, unquote. He had not only personally delivered timers and blasting caps to a Middle Eastern group, but had sat in on a meeting where the blueprints of the Mira building were on display. Then, 38 minutes before the blasts on April 19th, the Department of Justice in Washington received an anonymous telephone call warning that the Mira building was about to be blown up, but took no action. After a morning of reporting that, quote, multiple bombs, unquote, had been found in the Mira debris, a report publicly confirmed by Governor Frank Keating, and that rescue operations had been halted for 2 hours while these unexploded bombs were removed, news people suddenly began to spin the government yarn about an ANFO bomb being responsible for the enormous damage. One of the problems with the theory was the fact that the columns remained standing directly across the sidewalk from the truck, as opposed to those that had collapsed more than 50 feet away. A retired Air Force Brigadier General with 30 years' experience compiled an irrefutable report on this subject, which showed exactly where the charges were placed inside the building. It was so irrefutable that the prosecution refused to allow him to testify at the Denver trial, as it would have destroyed any ANFO theory that the government had already sold to the American people. On May 23, 1995, only 34 days after the explosions, the federal government stonewalled all attempts to examine the building's remaining structure and carried out an ordered demolition, destroying and burying forever what many believe contained the evidence of many explosions. And its issue, and this then goes on to talk about the issue of Spotlight magazine at the time that fully covered the Oak City incident and conclusively proved the accuracy of Pat Shannon's above story. A fascinating piece at the AmericanFreePress.net today. The OKC bombshell implicates the feds in the Mira blast after nearly a decade shocking suppressed evidence emerges. That's Pat Shannon today for the American Free Press. Take a look at that story. You know, it's fascinating. Sometimes you'll come into something in the establishment media that tends to corroborate an incredible piece like the one we just read from the American Free Press. There is an item that was published on the 19th of February in the International Herald Tribune. If you're not familiar with the International Herald Tribune, or the IHT, it is a combination of the New York Times and the Washington Post that might as well be advertised as the newspaper of the Council on Foreign Relations worldwide. If you are in the foreign countries, or if you're traveling on international flights going from this country to elsewhere in the world, you're likely to have run into the International Herald Tribune at some time in your travels. They have a February 19th publication entitled Making Martial Law Easier. Now, keep in mind, this is coming not from the American Free Press. It's not coming from other trusted non-corporate media sources. It's coming from the IHT as of the 19th of February. And it says as follows. A disturbing recent phenomenon in Washington is that laws that strike to the heart of American democracy have been passed in the dead of night. So it was with a provision quietly tucked into the enormous defense budget bill at the Bush administration's behest that makes it easier for a president to override local control of law enforcement and declare martial law. The provision, signed into law in October, weakens two obscure but important bulwarks of liberty. One is the doctrine that bars military forces, including a federalized National Guard, from engaging in law enforcement. Called posse comitatus, it was enshrined in law after the Civil War to preserve the line between civil government and the military. The other is the Insurrection Act of 1807, which provides the major exemptions to posse comitatus. It essentially limits a president's use of the military and law enforcement to putting down lawlessness, insurrection, and rebellion, where a state is violating federal law or depriving people of constitutional rights. The newly enacted provisions upset this careful balance. They shift the focus from making sure that federal laws are enforced to restoring public order. Beyond cases of actual insurrection, the president may now use military troops as a domestic police force in response to a national disaster, a disease outbreak, terrorist attack, or to any other condition, quote-unquote. Changes of this magnitude should be made only after a thorough public airing, but these new presidential powers were slipped into the law without hearings or public debate. The president made no mention of the changes when he signed the measure, and neither the White House nor Congress consulted in advance with the country's governors. There is a bipartisan bill introduced by Senators Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, and Christopher Bond, Republican of Missouri, and backed unanimously by the nation's governors, that would repeal the stealthy revisions. Congress should pass it. If changes of this kind are proposed in the future, they must get a full and open debate. Interesting piece, and that is not from American Free Press. It's not something that is put out by any of the folks who also broadcast on this network and have their own websites. This is coming to us from the International Herald Tribune, which is a internationalized version of both the New York Times and the Washington Post, speaking about making martial law easier. And, of course, William Norman Grigg, who was on this show on Monday, made reference to the fact that habeas corpus and a series of other things were suspended last October, and that in William Norman Grigg's judgment, it is highly alarming that this happened in the context of an American media coverage that was absolutely anemic or even non-existent. The American public was absolutely passive in regard to the information that was being put out in the responsible non-corporate press about these developments. Now we're seeing references to this sort of thing in the International Herald Tribune, of all places. When these guys start getting nervous, and when they start publishing this kind of thing, it's perhaps a suggestion that some apples are really being shaken out of the trees. Again, going back to the IHT post from February 19th, there were two things that were weakened that they describe as bulwarks, important bulwarks of liberty. One is the doctrine that bars military forces, including a federalized National Guard, from engaging in law enforcement. That's posse comitatus, folks. It was enshrined in the law after the Civil War to preserve the line between civil government and the military. The other is the Insurrection Act of 1807, which provides the major exemptions to posse comitatus in regard to limiting the president's use of the military and law enforcement to specific conditions. What happened last October is that those conditions were expanded to virtually include anything. Keep an eye on that story, Making Martial Law Easier. Again, that's the International Herald Tribune. I don't think you can find a newspaper in the international news media that's any more establishment than that one. And when these guys start talking about this sort of thing, I think that's an indication of how difficult and how late the hour really is. Ted Pike at the National Prayer Network has something today entitled The Jewish Left and the Christian Right Square Off for the Hate Bill Battle. Ted's been a guest on this show once. I know he's been on a number of other shows for the Republic Broadcasting Network, and his news alerts in regard to this hate bill business are well worth your time. And as you go through and read what he has to say, this indicates that there is going to be a real push for this hate laws legislation, which would make many law-abiding people criminals, according to that legislation, because there is an attempt to criminalize free speech. Ted's piece, as I start to go down this thing this morning, I received it this morning at about, probably a couple hours ago. He underscores the fact that so-called liberal Jews are worried. This mounting threat to the survivability of the hate bill in the House Judiciary, and the reason why the survivability of that hate bill is in question is because of the efforts of people like the ones who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Continue to work your congressman in regard to this hate bill and tell he or she to run a sword through it. But the running of a sword through that hate bill, if it does happen, is something that has the so-called left-wing Jewish community very, very worried. The powerful Jewish Council for Public Affairs, in a recent action alert, calls its myriad members and member agencies to help pass the federal hate bill. Why? We might have a couple of minutes to talk about that this morning before our guest, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, comes on a little bit after 8 o'clock to discuss vaccines, whether they're good for your health, and what the political context is of the vaccine lobby in this country. Stay tuned to Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio and RBN. We'll be back.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274. 497-0274.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be with us shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, to discuss the whole business of vaccines. Are they good for your health and the health of your children? What is the political context of this vaccine industry? All of that we're going to be discussing with her in just a few minutes. But suffice it to say, in regard to news stories that we've been glancing at this morning, the Pakistani The News has been speaking about the comments of the outgoing commander of the United States Navy's 5th Fleet in the Mediterranean, talking about the fear of a so-called miscalculation by Iran. Take a look at that piece and evaluate it in the light of the information that you're seeing throughout the establishment press, as well as what you're seeing in the best of non-corporate media, to make up your own mind as to what he's talking about there. Is it miscalculation or is it provocation? Is it aggression or is it defense? Is it incident or is it false flag incident that we should be the most concerned about, as we seem to be moving closer and closer to an expansion of this war in the Middle East and Central Asia? Make up your own minds, of course, but it seems to me that that's something that's going to have to be evaluated on an ongoing basis as the American people get closer once more to something where they seem to be operating in a very passive mode, and where Congress makes a few sounds here and there, but largely seems to be acquiescent in what's going on. Keep an eye on it. We were also talking, of course, about Pat Shannon's piece for American Free Press Online, which you can find at AmericanFreePress.net, entitled The OKC Bombshell. What is the truth about what happened in Oklahoma City? To what extent was the federal government telling the truth? And to what extent was there a lot of dissimulation about what happened at Oklahoma City that we're still trying to uncover almost 12 years later? I don't have the final word on that, but suffice it to say that Pat Shannon's piece today for American Free Press is something that needs to be added to the mix as we try to get to the bottom of what did happen and who the real forces may have been that were involved in that great criminal act. Then we were speaking as well this morning briefly about Ted Pike's alert entitled The Jewish Left and the Christian Right Square Off for the Hate Bill Battle. That hate bill is entitled H.R. 254. That's H.R. 254. It's presently assigned to the House Judiciary Committee, and it could find its way to the House floor very, very quickly. Ted Pike is recommending that you call your House member and both of your state senators at 1-877-851-6437. That's 1-877-851-6437. You see the groups right and left lining up on this thing. We might look later in the program, in the last hour of the show, at what Ted Pike has to say about why the Jewish lobby is behind this hate crimes legislation so vociferously and so unanimously. We'll look at that in a little while. And then get back to some other conversations in the last hour of the show that we had with E. Michael Jones yesterday and that we're going to have with Dr. Robert Sungenis tomorrow. When we come back, we will have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny to talk about vaccines. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.